warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. This has been 1 year plus one episode that we've had the Catholic Man Show. And Dave, we were planning on doing something different this episode, but luckily we got bailed out by a local friend priest.
Yeah.
We were planning on having Matt Fratt on this week. If some of you were tuning in, thinking you were going to hear Matt Fratt, we're going to have Dave actually do the accent, Australian accent, to see if we could pull one over you guys. But I was listening to him beforehand and realized this isn't going to work out.
I almost did it right now, but I decided I'm going to save it.
You're going to save it?
I'm going to save it.
So we were planning on having him on today, but we were planning on recording even, and it just didn't work. Just didn't work out. Our equipment didn't work out.
Not gonna die.
So we had to go with Plan B. And Plan B is going to be awesome.
Plan B is basically Plan A.
Yeah. Record the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
Dave, I'll let you introduce the guest.
Okay. Our prestigious guest today is the one and only Father Brian Ketterer.
You know it.
All the way from Tulsa University.
The University of Tulsa.
University of Tulsa.
That's correct.
The Golden Hurricanes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's singular. The Hurricane.
Oh, the Hurricane.
Golden Hurricane.
Actually, you know, they did like a list of the heaviest mascots. The University of Tulsa has the heaviest mascot.
By weight.
By weight. Yeah, so some college, you know, it's like these kids are paying tens of thousands of dollars a year to go there. And their assignment was to calculate the weight of a golden hurricane. What would it really weigh? And apparently a hurricane in and of itself already weighs a lot.
I could imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably, you know, a lot of water, a lot of air.
Yeah.
But anyway, fun fact.
And a golden hurricane probably weighs like a small planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pluto, I would guess, probably doesn't have a lot of mass.
Yeah.
I believe it's a frozen ball of gas.
Yeah. Well, there's no priests on Pluto, so there is no mass.
Booyah.
So if this is your first time tuning into the Catholic Man Show, we do three things on the Catholic Man Show. First, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. Second, we highlight a man gear. And third, we have the most manly discussion you have ever heard in your whole life.
In your whole life?
Do you think that it compounds each week?
Ooh, dude, I don't know.
Each week that they listen, does it compound?
I mean, so you're talking about parabolic lines here.
Yes, I am.
Only time will tell. Only time will tell. Let's just see where we end up.
Okay, I agree.
In another year, I don't think the internet will be able to handle that much manliness.
Not
enough bandwidth.
Mm-mm.
Not enough
bandwidth. Too many snowflakes.
Okay, so let's get into the man beverage.
Okay, I'm really excited about this. It's our first vertical.
Is that what we're going to do? Did we decide to do that?
Are we doing it?
I think we're doing it.
I feel like we have to do it now.
Now you said that. I think you did that just so that way you could try more than one beer.
It's the same beer.
Well, different years.
Yeah.
Why don't you, Father Brian, tell them what a vertical is before we get going?
Well, a vertical is basically when you take the same beer that was brewed two different times, two different years generally, and just compare them. I've done verticals of 2, 3, 4 years of beer. Actually, the biggest one I ever did was about a year ago. We did a 17-year vertical of Bigfoot, which is a barley wine, going all the way back into the 90s. Like 1999, something like that. So
that's cool.
It's neat to line them up and just see what time does, because some beers can actually withstand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Some beers you want to drink fresh, IPAs and whatnot. Some stouts and barley wines, big beers, you can actually age, and they change and develop over time. So sometimes it's neat to do them side by side and just see what happens.
Were you there at Ken Henderson's house when he opened the beer he brewed 20 years ago?
I was unfortunately not there.
You missed out.
It was so good.
Yeah, everyone told me about it for like a week.
He opened it and said, this is either going to be terrible or fantastic.
And it was fantastic. Like,
we'll see how well I sterilize the bottles. It was awesome.
So tell us what we're drinking.
So we have a 2017 Founders Kentucky Breakfast Stout, usually just known as KBS. It's an imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels and brewed with coffee and chocolate. So
awesome.
It's a great winter beer. It's not really winter, but it's a great year-round beer, really. So
I eat breakfast almost, it seems like every day.
Okay, let's cheers. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
So it's obviously it's a very dark beer, obviously. Let me ask you this. Something I've been curious about and never really asked. Why breakfast stouts?
The coffee.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Good question.
I wasn't sure if it, like, why. It was maple. Like, that was my thought. If it has a maple taste, but...
Yeah. So they actually, Founders makes one called Breakfast Stout. It's just a coffee imperial stout.
Mm-hmm.
So this is with added chocolate and aged in whiskey barrels for probably 6 months or a year. I'm not sure.
Man, they did not I just today bought two different Founders products, and this one was not available at the liquor store I went to. I got All Day IPA and then Dirty B Word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a typical name for Scotch ales.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Dirty B Word one is fantastic.
It is
fantastic.
I highly recommend it.
Not because of the name.
And I'm not saying the actual name.
Right.
It's not actually called B Word.
Right.
It is the B Word. Dirty B Word.
Yep.
Why don't you give us some tasting notes on the beer?
So definitely you get the coffee right away. It's still very fresh. Brewed just a couple weeks ago, I believe, or bottled a couple weeks ago. So you get a lot of coffee. You do get some of that chocolate kind of sweetness, like Hershey bar, like melted all over your tongue. You also get a lot of caramel and vanilla, which usually comes from the whiskey barrels. So all of those together, it's like eating a delicious, like, coffee chocolate bar with caramel and
you do have a little bit of oak taste. You can actually have a little oak taste in there. Like, I can taste, like, the barrel part.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, and... It's not a milk chocolate. It's a dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Bitter chocolate kind of.
Yeah. If I were to describe it, I like that.
Is it semi-sweet? Is that what it's called?
Well, like a drier dark chocolate.
Yeah. Okay. Coffee chocolate bar is an apropos summation of the beer, I believe.
Definitely.
1 point for me for using summation.
Nice.
Thank you.
And so the reason you probably couldn't find it is it's actually a fairly limited distribution, limited release. So some stores will only sell you a bottle or two just to kind of limit their, make sure everyone gets some. The last couple of years, they've kind of ramped up their production, so it's a little more available. But I think we've only had Founders here in Oklahoma for like the last 2 years. But even like thinking about 4 years ago, I used to find people that had, you know, bought one up out of state somewhere and trade with them. And it was kind of a precious commodity. But now that it's more and more common, they brew a lot more of it, it's a little easier to get. So, but generally, you kind of have to know when it comes out and go hunt for it.
Beer trading is a thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Beer can be a currency.
Yeah. And Founders is so good. Everything I've ever had by them is good. And you know what else? They don't get crazy with the price of their beer.
They do not.
I feel like they could charge more.
Especially their all-day IPA.
Yeah. You can get... 18 for
like $16.
Less than a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this beer was about $5.50 to $6, and it's a 11.2%.
So this is more expensive than
it is.
Yeah,
But really, for a barrel aged imperial stout, this is actually on the cheaper end.
Does it take long to brew one of these?
Well, it sits in barrels for 12 months.
Okay.
So that is a long time
for a beer.
So it does, it costs more to brew it because it's thicker and you have more ingredients.
You have to buy the bourbon barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the bourbon barrels are, keep going up in price because the popularity of barrel aging. Mm-hmm. And then really you're just also paying for space and time. These breweries have hundreds and hundreds of barrels, and it takes up a lot of space.
Sure.
So yeah, you're paying rental prices and all that. So,
Before I forget, because I had this on my mind, and I was like, don't forget, and I was going to say it at the very beginning, but I forgot. So I remember now, I'm going to say it. Next week, we're going to be at Christ the King Parish. So if you're in Tulsa, we're going to do a recording live segment or episode. Wow, I'll get my words
live
right.
Live audience recording. Yeah.
Yes, I'll get my words right sooner or later.
Okay.
At Christ the King Parish. And we're going to have Monsignor Muggenberg going to be there. Who
Bishop-elect?
Yes.
That's correct.
Is that what you say, Bishop-elect?
Yes.
I call him my roommate.
Yeah, he is your roommate.
Yes. But he was... Just it was just announced that he's going to be the bishop in Seattle.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
So I was joking the last couple days. On Thursday, one of my roommates, Monsignor Muggenberg, got called to be a bishop. The next day, Friday, my other roommate, Father Alkeen, got called to be pastor of Christ the King.
Yeah.
And so Saturday, I was just praying that nothing happened to me. Yeah. I'm like, this is my turn.
I'm good where I'm at.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you are in Tulsa and you want to come, would love to see you, would love to have you there. It's a free event. Dinner's going to be provided from 6:30 to 9, I think, or 6:30 to 8:30, somewhere around in there. Christ the King Parish on the 19th is when it's going to be.
Do they need to register?
Wednesday. Yeah, you go to the Parish of Christ the King website. I think it's, I don't know, you just look it up.
Google it.
And you can register there. When we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. I'm Adam Manan, sitting here with David Niles and Father Brian Ketterer. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in studio with Adam Minahan and Father Brian Ketterer. All right.
That was it?
Yeah.
That was your best radio voice?
Well.
Dude, okay. That was not a radio voice.
That is a type of radio
voice.
That
was a ball game announcer voice.
That was a...
Gone wrong.
That was like a morning show, I'm the funny one. Radio voice.
That's like the guy who gets stuck in the 3 a.m. slot and he's trying to stay awake.
Yeah, like, we're on the hit list. All right, number 99.
Yeah.
That was like, you should just try your Australian accent again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what
you heard
like.
It. It's pretty good, right? It's
better
legit.
than that.
Yeah.
We'll give you that.
I don't argue that. I don't know. I seed the point. Is it seed the point? Secede the point.
Well, we heard the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We see I'm
saying I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. So we were just talking about Bishop-elect Monsignor Muggenberg. I guess he's not Monsignor anymore. He's just Bishop-elect Muggenberg.
Correct.
Daniel Muggenberg.
Well, when our bishop, Bishop David Condorla, he was recently telling a story about one of his friends, also from College Station, who is now a bishop. When he got the call, he said, you know, the Holy Father would like you to be the bishop of wherever. Do you accept? And it's that person's job to get them to say yes or no on the phone right then and there. Mm-hmm. Because everybody wants to take time to think about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so he said, like everybody else, can I have a day, 24 hours to pray about it? And this is the best response. The guy goes, the Holy Father has already prayed about it. Will you accept the position?
How do you say, what do you come back to that?
What are you supposed to do? Because it's like, now, unless you think your prayers are more efficacious than the Holy Father's, he has already prayed about it.
Yeah.
So we're done with that.
We've moved on.
Yeah. Do you want the job?
So in the middle of the break, we poured the next beer. I'll let Father Brian really quickly before we get into the man gear touch on it.
Yep. So yeah, I brought a 2015 KBS also because I figured we're drinking a 2017. Might as well dig out a 2015 I have because who doesn't just have multiple years of a beer?
Right.
Naturally.
And so sometimes it's just fun to try them side by side and see what age does, because some beers improve with age, some beers degrade with age, and some beers just change, kind of remains neutral. So that would be fun to try a 2015 as well. The coffee is almost gone. Coffee is one of the first things to fade in a beer. You still get a lot of the chocolate, kind of some of the vanilla, maybe not as much caramel.
Hey, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think that not as much caramel. The sweetness isn't there like it was in the first one. The first one was a lot was sweeter. It's not a sweet beer, but it was sweeter than this
one. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they vary the batches a little bit from year to year. So, you know, everyone's like, oh, this year's is better than the last, or this last year's had more coffee, last year's had more whatever. It's always fun hearing different opinions from people. And of course, sometimes the opinions are like completely opposite.
Well, yeah, well, I was getting ready to say even before you made that comment that, you know, you might have, or this is what I'm getting from this beer. But when I think about those kinds of things, I think about coming to you to determine which one is right and which one is wrong. Because I feel like you know.
There's a few people that respect my opinion.
Yeah, people, I'm just going to brag about you because that way you don't have to. Anyway, I'm going to brag about you. People will send you beer from around the world, the globe, and say, you know, what do you think about this?
It's mostly just up and coming local brewers.
But they somehow everybody, it's so weird. On Facebook, I have atheist friends who I was talking about beer with recently. And then they bring up, oh, well, let's ask Father Brian. And I was like, how do you know Father Brian? Like, just because you like beer, you know him? What the heck is going on?
Like, he's my friend.
Right. You're an atheist, man.
We just speak a common language. It's called beer.
Yeah.
Okay, really quick also, I was going
to
say
hurry, because we got to get to the man gear.
Okay. We got props from Tony from Ireland because we said... Lefroig.
All right.
Correctly.
Lefroig.
Lefroig.
That's more of a diphthong. Yeah.
So I wanted to say that he reached out to us and said last episode we nailed it.
Yes.
So I felt good about that. Feels good.
I can die a happy man.
Okay, let's get into the man gear.
Okay, the man gear today is the shop rag.
Crickets. Crickets.
That's not what they sound like, man.
Crickets don't speak.
Okay, so the shop rag. If you don't have a shop rag and you think, what's so man, you know, like, what's the deal with that? You obviously don't do much working in your shop, okay?
Or, yeah, working with your hands in general.
Anybody who's ever done a project in the garage or whatever knows the value of a shop rag. In fact, I not only have shop rags out there, I also have a roll of paper towels.
The heavy-duty ones?
Yes.
The blue ones.
On a pegboard. Mm. They're actually not blue. They're just, I believe, one of the heavy-duty kitchen...
Oh, okay.
You know,
boo that man, boo him again, boo.
But sometimes
just fairly high levels of manliness.
You know, sometimes you don't want to use your shop rag for something. You know, this is a quick, just little spill. You know, or whatever it is.
Right.
So I've got both. I've got both.
Nice.
But for me, the shop rag is a lot like a lot of men. Okay.
Let's see. I want to hear this connection.
Okay.
Let's connect these dots.
Shop rags, they're not glamorous. Okay. They're not pretty. In fact, a lot of times they're leftover other things. Mm-hmm. You know, jeans or t-shirts, you know, they can be discarded other things.
Okay.
Things that other people have said, this is now worthless. I'm going to throw it away. And someone says, no, I will take it and I will love it in a shop rag form. Okay.
You don't realize you need it until you actually do need it.
No, this can be part of my, I will adopt what you're about to throw away. And then, so it's not pretty, just like a lot of men.
But it gets the job done.
But it serves a vital function in the shop, in the garage. Okay. And it's cleaning up the messes. It's doing the grunt work. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that that it just says man, you know, because a lot of, let's be honest. Most men are not pretty. And the ones that are pretty aren't very manly. Okay? Let's just be honest. But there's just, can you nod your heads at least?
Yes? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm following
okay,
you.
Okay, good. I'm just hoping I was striking a chord with what I'm saying. Because
we just like to let you go out on a limb and...
I'm just letting you kind of...
see where you go.
Keep going, man. Just keep paddling. We'll see where you go.
So you can do your cricket impression again?
Crickets.
Crickets.
Crickets! 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 I can't make the sound of a cricket. I can't do that. That's funny.
But, you know, so, I think the shop rag is a raise of the glass to all men
here's
who are
you
hard
shop-
workers.
Here's to you, shop rag.
To you, shop rags of a man. you know, you're probably strong and dirty, but you're a man. Here's to you.
Yeah.
So when I think of a shop rag, I just think of like a kind of soiled, dirty rag that's been cleaning up oil and grease. It's just kind of in the back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, just there. Just pull it out when you need it. You know, clean stuff up. Toss it back in there.
It's ready to do anything. Very versatile. It's not afraid to get its hands dirty.
You can use it to put out fires. If you got, you know, grease fires, just bat that fire out.
Assuming you haven't been soaking up too much oil with it, like in the very recent past.
You
got
to, you know, swat it quickly. Ah!
Yeah, I use them a lot to clean up wood glue. You know, whenever I'm doing a lot of woodworking, I have to have a shop rag with me almost at all times, because you the less you have of wood glue, the less sanding you have to do later, which I hate sanding. And so,
dude, I don't know anybody who likes sanding.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst part. And so,
please, can I do the sanding?
So I want to make sure that like I get all of that wood glue out of there before, you know, it dries up, because I don't want to have to sand it off.
Yeah, because it doesn't sand as well.
No, it's
just get gums.
It
gums up your sandpaper.
Yeah, it just takes a lot. It's just more work. So
okay, you can go to the store and you can buy shop rags, but I feel like it's more legit if you make them.
Okay.
Take an old shirt or take a pair. Like, I've got a pair of jeans that are just ripping up. And so I'm going to make shop rags out of them.
Yeah, but that it doesn't, like, wipe up very much very well. It
T-shirts
just smears.
Work better.
Yeah, T-shirt. Jeans don't work well.
Yeah, but you can still do stuff with them. Because sometimes you just need them to wipe.
Sure.
You know, you don't need them to be absorbent. You know, you do the hand roll when you wipe.
Okay.
Wish people could see what I'm doing.
Yeah, this is radio.
I know.
Not TV.
Anyway, I'm going to do it, okay?
That's fine.
Maybe work well.
Just let us know.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
But these jeans are falling apart. All I've got to do is gently tug on them and they'll shred.
Consumer Reports, grease rag edition. Do jeans work better or do t-shirts work better?
You have to pay to get all the Consumer Reports these days. You have to subscribe to their service.
Wow.
It makes me angry.
It's almost like it costs some money to do it.
Yeah, and I'll bet you pay for it, and then their website's still packed with ads. You know what I mean?
Got to make money.
We know a guy who works for them. We should write a report about the Consumer Reports. Jared, he works for them.
I'm not going to engage in that conversation.
Jared, email me. You know who you are.
I do like the man gear, though. At first, when you were first talking to me about it and you suggested it, I thought, what are we going to say about a shop rag? I mean, yeah, it's manly, but we're gonna have like 30 seconds and then we're done. You know, it cleans things up,
right? The shop rag of a man is the guy who is always in the background doing the hard work that nobody else wants to do. He never makes a big fuss about himself.
It's almost like he's not the finished product either. He's not the finished product. He just helps with the finished. So he's planting the seeds for the finished product.
And he's a giver.
And there's a virtue on keeping things tidy as well. You know, kind of cleaning up the mess. It's not just letting the mess all over the place, but kind of keeping things clean.
True or false?
Keeping the mess from getting all over the place.
True or false? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Just true or false?
True.
Okay.
False. It's not in the Bible.
Can't argue that.
Yeah. Not in the Bible, you're right.
When we get back, we're going to jump into the man topic. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass.
Welcome back.
Thanks, David.
We're here with Father Brian Ketterer, a priest from the Tulsa Diocese. He's part of the
Diocese of Tulsa.
Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma. We're going to talk about
got a name change FYI.
We're going to talk about the priesthood this episode because, you know, it's Holy Week. It's a great opportunity.
Today's Holy Thursday.
Yeah. So I got to tell you guys, we're recording on Monday, so I'm referencing Monday, not Thursday. But
okay, but this airs on Thursday.
Right, correct. I had a St. Peter moment today.
Did you?
Yes.
You got crucified upside down?
No, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
You turned into a rock.
No. I'm not going to let you guys keep guessing. I'm just going to tell you.
You betrayed our Lord 3 times.
No, I did not do that.
In rapid succession.
However, before Holy Week started,
walked on water. I was praying. You walked on water.
I'm talking.
So, my bad. Sorry.
Okay. You can now raise your hand if you want to talk. I may or may not call on you. Before Holy Week started, I was praying that I would embrace whatever cross was given to me this week.
Okay.
Not carry it, but embrace it. You know, like,
I don't want to carry it anywhere.
Not just carry it, but embrace it.
Okay.
Not just carry it.
Just is a, yes, is, it is important. A, yeah. Yes.
But not just carry it, but embrace it.
I'm not carrying it, but I'll hold it.
And I thought for sure, I'm gonna do this joyfully. Uh-huh. Whatever happens, I'm gonna do this joyfully.
I know exactly how you feel.
What a prideful moment that was, because today has just gone wrong in so many ways.
Uh-huh.
I've had so many things happen today that just did not work out.
Yeah.
Not just with, you know, our show, but you know, with work, with just things that have happened. I started the day off on the wrong foot. I got up late. You know, just like there's so many things that happened today. And I was sitting there kind of complaining to my wife after work. And halfway through my complaining, I realized I am not like...
This is it. Here it is.
This is it. I was like, you know, 24 hours ago, I was saying like, whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to embrace it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm joyfully going to accept this.
Yeah.
And less than 24 hours later, I'm sitting here complaining, being like, this is the worst. I'm not like, you know... This is just a terrible day.
God is like picking on me.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a really bad rooster crow, by the way.
That was a very bad rooster crow. But
I knew it was a rooster.
But
you should definitely know, Peter.
Anyway.
But man, I've had that happen to me so many times where it's like, God, just let me suffer a little bit. I want to do it.
Yeah.
To bring it on. And then the next day, very quickly, it starts happening. And I'm over here just going, what the heck?
Yeah.
This is like... I don't deserve this. And then it's happened to me where God has just made it very clear, this is what you asked for, and right. I'm giving it to you.
It
and
was
you
a
just
very,
feel so terrible.
It was a know? Very grace-filled moment,
uh-huh.
without a doubt, because I realized midway through my sentence, it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like the cock literally crowed as I denied, you know, the third time. Like, it hit me, and I realized I just 24 hours ago said that I was going to be joyful and accept, embrace this cross.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just had to...
We all have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh, Adam.
Okay, so we're talking about the priesthood. So I want to start off with the priesthood in general. The priesthood started on Holy Thursday. If you think it started on Pentecost, you're wrong. Okay?
All right, there we have it.
I just want to get that out of the way. I mean, and a lot of people just assume that's when it started because that's when the Holy Spirit descended, you know, but that's not the case. It started on Holy Thursday because Jesus is doing the Mass and he says, do this in remembrance of me. So he can only command, that's a command. He can only command his apostles to do it if they're priests. Okay. I mean,
you can only do what you're able to do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And God would never say, do something that he knew you couldn't do or that was
outside your authority
right,
or
outside of what he wanted you to
right.
be able to do.
Right.
You know, it's almost a that would be God contradicting himself if he told you to consecrate the Eucharist, but I have not enabled you to consecrate the Eucharist. You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it started on Holy Thursday.
And then the apostles went out and said, these hands are for chalices, not calluses or shop rags.
Yeah.
It is.
But how opposite was true.
Yeah. I'll bet they had pretty calloused hands.
I bet they
Acts
did.
Chapter 30. Look it up.
Wow.
Chapter 33, I believe. So then there, you know, also with the shop rag, it being Holy Thursday, there's the washing of the feet.
Yes. The only thing that people remember about Holy Thursday is the washing of the feet, which little do most people know, it's actually an option in the liturgy. I forget how it's worded, but it's basically, you know, following the homily, the washing of the feet takes place where appropriate. or, you know, if desired, something along those lines.
Okay.
But everyone, like, I'm pretty sure the priest would be crucified if he left that out of Holy Thursday Mass.
Yeah.
You know, all the little programs for Holy Thursday, everything about Holy Week's like always the priest washing the feet. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves the priest washing the feet, which for good reason. You know, there's a great symbolism there.
Mm-hmm. In the early church, they actually were contemplating whether the washing of the feet was a sacrament.
Oh, yes. Ooh. I recall that.
Yes. They actually thought, or, you know, they contemplated or discussed that the washing of the feet should be a sacrament. It was.
Yeah. Did Jesus institute it as a sacrament?
Right.
He's there instituting the Eucharist.
Right.
In the same setting. Is that, yeah.
But they voted no.
Yeah. They said no.
So I think there's a beauty.
They didn't like doing it.
There's a beauty in what our Lord did, because at, you know, basically in the same time he instituted the sacrament of the priesthood, which some people can see as kind of, oh, you know, you have the power of the church and all these kind of authority and dignity and all this kind of pomp and circumstance. At the same time, he got down on the ground, took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, maybe like a shop rag,
mm-hmm.
and started mm-hmm. washing his disciples' feet, really emphasizing that the sacrament of the priesthood, as well as marriage, are sacraments of service. That's how they're categorized in the catechism, sacraments of service to the community. And so the priesthood's not about us, but it's about giving to others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what, you know, the priesthood is all about, right, is a service and sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's...
And it's very manly.
And extremely manly. Every vocation is about service. Mm-hmm. So you all... Men and women, the thing is, it's very obvious the way women are called to serve. They're just their nature,
mm-hmm.
the way that they just pour out love, especially right. in the family. Their service is so in your face in a beautiful way
mm-hmm.
that nobody even takes, very often, it doesn't even need to be pointed out.
Right.
Because, yeah, no duh, the sky's blue. Everybody knows the sky's blue. Because we see it all the time. But men are called to serve in just as much a real way. I mean, I'm not going to say in a even more. They're not called to serve more because men and women were called to serve each other.
Yeah, it's just kind of against our nature, I think. Or it seems more counter to our nature to, you know, humble ourselves and serve in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So actually an interesting reflection Pope Benedict had in his Jesus of Nazareth book, I was reading earlier today. He speaks about the kenosis of Jesus, basically the humbling of himself. Said that he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, that hymn that we pray a lot in evening prayer. That Jesus kind of overlooks his divinity and focuses on his humanity. So really descends from the heights of his divinity to the level of humanity, even emptying himself to the being like a slave, washing the feet of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where it's in contrast to Adam, who was human, but reached out for divinity.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat this, you will be like God. Mm-hmm. So he was grasping higher, where Jesus actually, by his own choice, reaches lower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So really being the new Adam.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not, he just didn't reach lower. He like dove in, mm-hmm. you know, he brought himself, not all of himself,
right,
down to us.
So the priesthood comes from the Old Testament, right? It mentions that all the descendants of Aaron from the Levites were priests. And so they were ministerial priests. So we're all called to be priests. Husbands are domestic priests.
Yeah, we're all part of the common priesthood.
Right, with Jesus being the high priest.
Men and women are all part of the common priesthood.
Right, with Jesus being the high priest.
Ministerial priest.
Ministerial priest, right. So in the New Testament, when Christ instituted the priests, that's the reason why there's some priests, the ministerial priests, that can institute administer the sacraments. Just like in the Old Testament, when there were some priests that were able to go into the temple to offer sacrifices.
Yeah.
This is very parallel.
It seems pretty obvious that it's always been part of God's plan that his people would be, you know, interceded, their sins would be forgiven through the priest. Okay,
right.
But the Bible talks about in the Old Testament they were offering these sacrifices of goats and bulls. that could never forgive sins.
Right.
But now we have. But and so I think Protestants get hung up on this idea that, well, you know, we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. To which so we that, say amen.
So, yeah, so we don't need the priest to be the mediator. But Jesus is the mediator in that he is the sacrifice. Okay? We still need the priest to offer it. He is the high priest. Okay? But just because there was one high priest in Jerusalem didn't mean that you didn't need one to go to. You know, like you still have your priest
right
around. Mm-hmm. It's always been that way.
Exactly.
That's the way God, and that's a foreshadowing mm-hmm. of what we have today.
From even all the way back from Melchizedek.
Yeah.
My
he was
homie.
A sweet dude.
Yeah. When we get back, we're going to continue talking about the priesthood. I'm Adam Inhan, sitting here with David Niles and Father Brian Ketterer.
We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
Raise your glass.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Inhan, and we are joined, special guest, Father Brian Ketterer. He's here in studio. We're having a good time. We brought him in. One of the main reasons is because he knows beer.
And I'm the pinch recorder.
And he happens to be a priest.
True.
Which is also a good reason for him to be here. I just want to address something really quick. This is a thing. People are always complaining about, why can't women be priests? Why can't women be priests? And I'll tell you why they can't be priests. Because they're girls. Okay? And if you would think about the words you're using, you would know that that's obvious. A girl can't be a priest. Now, if you want to discuss why can't women be priestesses, that's a totally different discussion. Okay? But they can't be a priest because they're girls. Now, in theory, they could be a priestess. But that's not what you asked. So quit asking that question.
Problem solved.
It's driving me crazy. Okay?
Okay.
Am I right?
Fair enough.
Had to get that off my chest. I feel better. I'm sorry. Sorry I did that to you guys. I feel better.
We'll cede that one to you.
Thank you.
I'm editing that out.
Well, it's nice being back with you guys on air this time. This is my third time recording with you all, but only my second time on air. Hopefully,
yeah.
As Adam reminded me, we're not on air yet. So, you know, pray to the Holy Spirit that this happens. Because the last time our recording got deleted or didn't save.
It disappeared.
Disappeared.
So now I'm back and...
Disappeared. You know, it's brutal.
Ready yeah. for another round.
Yeah.
Okay, totally. So we're talking about the priesthood.
The priesthood. And I think... the priesthood gets kind of a bad rap, especially from younger guys. I think there's this notion floating around that priests are, you know, they have to resign themselves to this life of loneliness, you know, where they can never be comforted by a woman. And I got to tell you, I think that is crap. The priests that I know and that I've talked to, they laugh about this idea going, you know, there are just so many times in their life where they, like hear married problems or something and they just think, I am so glad I'm not married. I'm just going to go home and do whatever I want when I get home in my house. Literally whatever I want all the time. Right? Do you feel that way ever? You're not, I mean, not that long a priest.
I see families.
Are you 3 years?
Almost 3 years.
Almost?
This May.
Okay.
Yeah. I see families, you know, coming with all their kids, you know, dragging their kids that are half dressed and, or, you know, they were dressed nicely for mass and then they get to mass and there's, their clothes are all untucked and, you know, they got ketchup all over the place. Yeah. It's like, how'd you get ketchup?
Yeah, where did you find
ketchup?
Where'd you find ice cream?
It's like, oh, it's under the seat in the van. How was that? What? So yeah, I see the struggle of parents and sometimes I'm like, you know, thanks be to God, I don't have those challenges in my life. And I'm sure married men and women as well look at priests and sometimes they're like, man, thanks be to God, I don't have those challenges in my life.
Sure, sure.
You know, but, you know, both vocations are beautiful in their own ways. They have their own challenges, their own you know, graces, but ultimately, you know, we need both of those vocations, and good men as husbands and good men as priests as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to throw this out there for all you single Catholic guys who are hoping to find a super Catholic woman like my wife. I married just a super Catholic woman, and it's awesome. She's gorgeous. If you want to get a date with any super Catholic girl you want, and I mean this, I'm not even over-exaggerating. If they find out that you are someone who is discerned out of seminary, they will go on a date with you. It's like, oh, yeah, Bobby. Oh, well, he discerned out of seminary.
Catholic street cred.
Right. It's like that to them, to a one of these solid Catholic women, that's the ultimate, you know, what is it? Feather in your cap. I don't know if that is the appropriate use of that expression.
It's a pretty good credential.
Yeah. But to them, that is the end-all be-all of, yes, someone who is eligible to marry. He's discerned out of seminary. Okay. He asked me on a date. Oh, my gosh!
Well, and see, Dave, I think that, you know, we found out at the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference there was actually a lot of young guys that listened to this show.
Totally.
And so, I just want to tell you guys, if you're listening right now, it is extremely important to figure out what your vocation is.
Yeah, because if you want to be happy,
that's it.
That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely. And not only just for yourself, but for the body of Christ in general.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be able to maximize who you are and being happy and being joy by living out the vocation you're called to live out.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you have this like smallest tug to go to the seminary.
Check it out. Explore it. Yeah.
Because even if you're not called to be a priest and you discern out of the priesthood, the experiences that you got in seminary will only benefit you as a husband and as a father.
Totally.
Do you agree, Father?
Definitely. And I know a lot of guys that have gone through seminary and are very active in the church that they went through for a few years, discerned out. But the formation they received, the education, and just the human formation that they received as well has served them well in their vocation as a husband, as a father, and just in service to the church as well.
Human formation.
Yes. How to be a real man.
How to be a human.
A good, holy man.
Mm-hmm. No,
yeah, I really wish that I could go to seminary just because I want to know things.
Well,
you might need some human formation too.
Reminds me of pregnancy. It's just what I think of when I think of human formation.
Okay, so Father, let me ask you this. Being a priest, when you first started, like when you first started discerning, you were coming in, you know, you were joining the seminary. Did you realize how much time it was going to take, how much focus it was going to take, how much time you had to plan and schedule and be disciplined and be determined to make sure that you have to carry out all of the things you're supposed to do each day and follow through with it?
Yeah, I had no idea at all.
The fortitude that you had to exemplify?
When I went to seminary, I thought...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Being a priest just means you pray with people, hang out with people, and lead them to heaven.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's awesome. Which, you know, I mean, essentially that's what it is.
Like a hippie spiritual guide or something.
Yeah. But of course there's a lot more to it. You know, we're... Many priests are pastors in mm-hmm. charge of parishes. I'm chaplain in charge of the Newman Center.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of responsibilities and other things that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Lord equips you when you're called to that. My first year of priesthood, I didn't have to deal with a lot of that stuff. The pastor took care of a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of slowly grew into those roles. And then when the bishop decided, hey, you're going to be the chaplain of the Newman Center, you know, the Lord gave me some more of those gifts, and some of them I just had to learn. Some trial and error, some reaching out to other priests for help.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord gives you the gifts and the skills that you need along the way.
But being a priest is a manly thing. It's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a challenge, and it's a daily challenge. I think just like it is as a husband.
Mm-hmm.
But being a priest, you have to really deny yourself. It's a complete denial of self.
I had a kind of interesting revelation on Palm Sunday when we were doing the Passion narrative. The priest generally takes the role of Jesus. And when they're doing the, you know, should we release Barabbas or Jesus? You know, and they say Barabbas, you know, it's like, wow, they've chosen someone else over their priest in a way. Jesus, you know, their high priest.
Right.
And then they're like, well, so what should we do with Jesus? And they're like, crucify him. I'm like, that's really kind of like the role that I've chosen in life.
Uh-huh.
To, you know, accept that, you know, possible fate, maybe physically or spiritually. Because not all the world really likes the priesthood and what it stands for, because
that's the truth.
So much of the world is kind of led by the passions and led by the influence of the devil.
Do whatever you want, whenever you want it.
Yeah.
And that's not manly at all.
And we show up and say, no, you can't do whatever you want, whenever you want. And they're like, well, forget that. Crucify him in their own way.
Yeah, there is still something that when the secular world encounters a priest, they still, even in today, have that. There's a respect there for the clergy. You know, that this person has dedicated their life to something beyond them. Whether they believe in something beyond this life or not, deep down, they still know that that's what's going on here, and they respect it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just something that's manly in general.
Yeah.
Men are called to stand up for what's right, whatever the effect is. Whether you're glorified for doing it or whether you're, you know, shot down for doing that, men are called to stand up for what's right in the face of whatever the consequences are.
And we need good men.
And I want to point this out about celibacy, because celibacy is not inherently linked to the priesthood. However, it is the tradition.
Discipline.
It is the discipline of the church. And it, in my estimation, it is a saint-making machine. Celibacy is. Okay.
I think St. Paul would probably agree with you, too.
I'm pretty sure he would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the reason that priests give up the good of marriage is not because celibacy is better, necessarily. It's because marriage is so good. It's because marriage is so good that a priest says, I'm willing to give up this awesome thing to...
For the sake of the kingdom.
Right. Yeah, to the already but not yet. So it's almost like, because in heaven, you're neither married nor given in marriage. So it's almost like the priest is living a heavenly reality here on earth. Mm-hmm. And it's not because it's better not to marry. It's because marriage is so good that it says, I'm willing to give that up for love of Christ.
It's true. And it's not a sacrifice unless you're giving up something that's good.
Right, exactly.
Same thing in Lent. You know, we give up things that are good, and that's the sacrifice because... they're good. And I can't have it. That's the sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't tell you how many years in a row as a child I tried to give up homework for Lent.
Right. Didn't work out.
It never worked.
Nope. Didn't work out.
Now I see it. I see why.
Well, I hope you guys have a happy Easter with your families. Pray with your families. Go to church on Good Friday. The communion.
Church.
The liturgy.
On Good Friday. Yeah. That's, thank you.
Go be a priest.
Thank you, Father Brian Ketter,
do
for
that
being
too.
Here.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Hey, guys, check out the Catholic Man Show website, too. www.thecatholicmanshow.com.